It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target. Work the hardest, with passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And today, once again, we have a special guest. And
Yay!
His name is none other than Shannon Owens, also known as Liriz.
Yes, indeed.
In hip-hop circles. So, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. Just got off work. Chilling.
The old ground.
Yep. Indeed.
So, you've been doing this, like, hip-hop stuff and everything for a long time. I guess, let us know, like, how that kind of all came together.
Oh, hip-hop? Let's see. I'll take it back to, it was probably 98 when I started, wanting to rhyme and get into a studio and stuff, because before that I lived in a really small town.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't like no one around that even knew, that listened to hip hop, let alone knew how to make it. Right? I was like the only guy in town that even listened to hip hop. Right, really small town where I come from. And I moved to a little bit bigger city, definitely bigger compared to where I was from, and I started finding some people to, you know, that knew how to make music, and so yeah, that was about 98, and I just went out from there, started out on karaoke machines like most people, and then went to studios, and then made my own studios, and just continued working on it.
That's cool. And so you put out at least a couple albums, right? Like, what are some of the projects you've put out?
Oh, let's see. I think I've done, as far as solo albums, my first one was called Lyricide, and it was an EP. It was only like 5 songs. And then I did The Arrival, which is my first, like, full album. And then I did Drive. And I did, then I made this group called Accomplished Music. And pretty much I produced everything. I recorded everybody. I got everyone together. And so it might as well have been, like, my albums, too.
Right.
So all together, I probably got 7-8 albums, and then a bunch of features on other people's stuff, like Kazmetas and Motion Pluses and a bunch of other stuff. Man.
Sweet. So, did you say you produce too? You make beats or?
Yeah, I make beats.
Cool. Sounds like my situation. You kind of just, you know, you need beats, so you don't know anybody who can make them, so you make them yourself.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is that, like, the beats that I make, like, it's very rare that I can rhyme to my own beats. I don't know why. I guess I just make a different style of beat than what I normally do. There's only a few occasions where I've been able to rhyme over it, but, yeah, so that's the struggle. I wish I was like Big Crit or J. Cole, where I could just sit down like, oh, I'm going to make a beat for me today. And but it rarely happens like that, sad to say.
Yeah, it's weird.
I postpone my projects a lot.
No doubt. Yeah, there's definitely like an odd disconnect there. I guess I've had that similar trouble before too, but at the same time, I think I've kind of learned how to just do it anyways.
Yeah.
My last album was all my beats, so I don't know, It's definitely different though, because the thing is you're trying to do everything all yourself, and it's like it just gets overwhelming, pretty
Yeah,
much.
and that's pretty much the only thing that I like. I'll venture out and like I'll get beats from other producers and stuff, and but that's about it. Like everything else, the recording, the mixing, the the album artwork, everything, usually I do myself.
So that's pretty cool, man. And so now you've always pretty much been a comic fan and stuff. Tell us about that, how that happened and what first got you into it and stuff.
Let's see. How long have I been a nerd? Jeez, I don't know. Just, I guess Saturday morning cartoons probably where it goes back to.
Oh, nice.
And like Star Wars and all the other, good things that came out when I was growing up. I was born in 79, so like, through the 80s and early 90s and stuff was really when I was, when things soaked in for me, so.
I didn't know you were you're pretty much exactly the same age as me then. 'Cause I was born in 79 in February. So, huh.
October 3rd.
Nice. So yeah, that's cool. That's where a lot of people, I think, started out. A lot of the comic creators that I know, they're heavily influenced by Saturday morning cartoons and stuff, which I personally, now going back, I kind of am, but I was into that when I was a kid, but for some reason I never connected that with comic books so much for some reason. I'm not
Well,
sure
I
why.
mean, I remember, I remember things like the Super Friends. You know what I mean? Where it was comic stuff, but they did the TV shows of them and stuff, and yeah, I like that. The Wonder Twins and it just, and then it slowly led into like, then the 90s came, and I really liked the X-Men cartoon that was on Fox back in the early 90s and stuff. And and the whole time I was reading comics, and I was always just that kid. I like to draw a lot, especially when I was younger. I don't draw a whole lot now, but and my drawing's really like, I'm good at like seeing something, copying it, and slightly and modifying it. I'm not like the straight come up with something straight out of my imagination and my memory and draw it out usually. I'm more like the copying it and changing it up a little bit.
Oh, that's pretty cool,
So
though. That's a
yeah,
good. Go ahead.
so I was always kind of like, I was into comic books all the time because I like the artwork and things like that too, so.
Sweet. All right. So, and then, eventually, just pretty much recently, is it been recently that you thought about making a comic, or have you always thought about it?
Well, I've wanted to for a long time, but like, again, the problem I had with hip hop was I was in a place where no one knew how to do it. And the same thing with comics. I don't know anyone that, has ever made a comic before. I don't know anyone that, does artwork like you do and knows how to get things done as far as a comic goes. So again, like I said, it's just something that, I wanted to, just didn't have the means to or knew how to do it. So
And even I barely know how to do it. No, but so what kind of sparked this whole new idea of the thing we're working on together?
It was just kind of an idea that came to me when I was driving to work.
When you were what?
I was driving to work.
Oh, okay, sweet.
So sometimes things like that just pop into my head. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I kind of sat down and thought of a couple other, ideas for it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I come up with the ideas and I just like write it down on my tablet and just save it.
And I think also you were saying that we were back when Nathan Seybold was doing his Vampire Project on Kickstarter. He was trying to get that going, and unfortunately it didn't come through as a successful campaign, but he's still working on it. I think he's going to revamp it again. But I remember, you know, when I, like, basically posted about a vampire, that vampire thing, and then you shot back a message to me, and you're like, oh, man, I have this idea that has to do with vampires. You know, that kind of got, that sparked a little bit. And,
yeah, it did. I saw that, and I was like, oh, maybe you can, we can work together on it.
That's cool. So, have you always wanted to do kind of like a, maybe like a vampire stuff or play with some of the old monster types, or you just, it just came to you?
Well, growing up and stuff, like, I was, and my mom especially, were like fans of, my mom loves vampire movies and stuff, and I always liked them too, and then like, Blade and Interview with a Vampire and things like that were really liked.
Right.
And so yeah, just the monster movies and stuff like that I was a fan of. So, but no, there was nothing like, you know, oh, I really want to do that sometime. It was just an idea that just popped in my head, and cool. I was like, oh, that's different out of all the vampire things that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of them. I've never seen it done that way before.
Sweet.
So like, that'd be different. I like to do things differently than, if it's as original as possible, I'm all about it. Whatever that is.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's part of whatever it is that makes people, creative people, be creative. Like, I think a lot of people have that. I certainly feel that way. Like, anytime I have an idea, sometimes I'll be like, oh, that's kind of a lot like something else, so I'll try to flip it in a different way to make it kind of a new thing or whatever. So,
yeah.
So that's definitely cool. Let me see. How about maybe you could, especially since you're the writer and everything for the most part, you know, maybe you can kind of give a little bit of a breakdown of what the basic idea of this comic is going to be.
Well, it's been a while since I wrote the second part, so I haven't, like, went over it recently,
yeah.
But pretty much, like, let's see, the oversimplified breakdown of the story is weird. Like, I would never expect it to be, like, the oversimplified breakdown of what the story is aliens and vampires. You know what I mean? And just saying that just sounds like, what? But I wanted to do it in a way that, like, it made sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then there were fantasy elements to it. You know, and I wanted to do the vampires in a way that they hadn't been done before.
Okay.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's probably the best way I can describe it. Just vampires and aliens.
Nice. Sweet. So now this is like your first time trying to like write a story, or have you ever written any other kind of stories before?
I've dabbled with writing stories, but see, the reason why this works so well, I feel like, you know, me writing the stories and then sending it to you and we'll go back and forth on it,
mm-hmm.
is because, uh-huh. like, that's the thing that's kind of held me back from writing full stories, is that I'm very to the point guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, books and stories in general, they're like, they take time to describe things, you know what I mean? Like for instance, the last book I really tried to read was The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just before The Hunger Games movie came out. And I remember I sat down and I was reading for about, I think it was an hour and a half of the book, and it was the first 10 minutes of the movie. And I was like, oh, I wasted like an hour and a half of my time for the first 10 minutes of the movie. I'm not really like a book guy anymore, like, because I'm just like, get to the point. What's the point of all this? But like, since I can kind of do the basic story, and the visuals are already there, you know, when you create it.
Right.
You know, I don't have to take the time to describe what the scene looks like completely, you know, and because the visuals there from the artwork, and then, like, I can give you, like, the rough idea of what someone might say, but you can make it fit better in the panels. Yeah. You know what I mean? So this is kind of like the perfect type of writing situation for me. Like, I've always had, like I said, I always had ideas for stories, but I'm too to the point. Like, I'd tell, like, a whole book story in, you know, 2 pages.
So you're not going to, you know, go and do a Stephen King thing where, like, you spend, like, page upon page upon page on just describing one room.
No. It's wasting time to me. I just, like, get to the point, right?
Yeah. No, that's cool, though. I mean, that's that. It seems like comics is a good fit for that kind of writing anyways. And
it seems like it, yeah.
There have been writers. I mean, with comics, there's a very large range of style of how people write. And, I mean, you got, like, Alan Moore, who like, he's like this, I would say almost like the Stephen King of comics when it comes to as far as like detail, you know, like he'll describe mm-hmm. every single little detail, and you know, what you see visually is exactly what he wrote for the most part. So like the artist almost, I mean, I personally feel like I would probably hate to do a comic for somebody like that, because in some ways, it's kind of cool because...
erotic about every detail.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, in some ways, it's kind of cool because it takes all the thinking out. So it's like, okay, well, I'll just draw this... You know, you said you wanted a lamp sitting on a table that has this kind of light, so I'll just freaking draw it or whatever. So, right. Yeah, it's kind of easy, but at the same time, it's like, that takes all my creativity out of it and kind of makes it maybe boring, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I mean, comics traditionally has been, at times, there's, you know, been super minimal writing, almost to the point where, I mean, you hear the stories of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, and I mean, he would just kind of, Stan would just be like, tell him like a synopsis, and then Jack Kirby would bring him back pages that almost didn't even have anything to do with Stan Lee's yeah. synopsis, because it was like, yeah, yeah, whatever, Stan. Okay, I'll go make some comics.
Yeah.
At least from the stories that I hear, it's almost like that, so.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I kind of felt like they got a lot of credit, though, too, but for things that would really, I think, would come easily, like, okay, there, I will make Spider-Man, will make, you know, Ant-Man. Yeah. I feel like they probably went through, like, 500 characters and, like, 25 of them stuck, you know what I mean? Like, they were just spitting out, okay, what do we do? Okay, we can do this, we can make a guy that's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and we'll make him big, and he'll be green, and, you know, they're just kind of spitballing ideas, I feel, and like some of them just really stuck, and were really iconic, you know what I mean? But really, they weren't, I don't think they were putting a whole lot of thought into it.
Well, back then, there definitely was, kind of that vibe going on, and you know, they were just putting books out. They had a certain amount of books they could put out, and they put them out, you know. And mm-hmm. before that, Marvel was mostly doing Monster Comics and Romance Comics before like the big push of Marvel superheroes. Mm-hmm. I mean, before that, they do
World War II type stuff too, like
yeah,
the comics.
They did a lot of war books too. And that's kind of how, you know, Captain America. Yeah, which came 10 years earlier than, like, all the other superheroes. So there's Captain America, the Human Torch, Submariner, and that was, like, about it for superheroes. And, you know, superheroes were popular because Captain America came out and he's, like, punching freaking Hitler. And that was, like, that blew up. That was, like, huge. And then, yeah. like, you know, so because superheroes...
fantasy, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, superheroes were kind of big, but it was kind of connected to the war stuff, too, a lot. And then it kind of died out, and there was the whole Comics Code thing, and there's all kinds of issues, and also Marvel wasn't able to put out as many books as they could because DC owned the distributor for it, so they're like, well, you can only put out this many books.
Yeah.
So, you know, they stuck with monster stuff. Kirby was doing a lot of monster stuff, and he kind of didn't love doing that, but he came up with a lot of cool monsters, but there was, like, no personality to it, so he didn't really love that. And then, you know, eventually just things were going, like, kind of really crappy at Marvel, so Stan Lee and, you know, Kirby were pretty much like, you know, I mean, especially Stan Lee, he was just like, you know what, I'm either going to quit or I'm just going to do books the way I want to do it. That's how the story is told from what I hear. And that's when they came up with Fantastic Four. And then they just started coming up with all kinds of characters after that.
Yeah, and then Stan kind of, like, took the forefront of, like, being, like, the spokesman for Marvel. Like, he was, like, the Pharrell to the Neptunes of Marvel. Like, you see Jack Kirby in the background, you know, there's that that other guy from the Neptunes. But you only know Pharrell, really.
Yeah. A little hip-hop metaphor, nice. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like, Stan, like... A lot of people, there's huge debates and stuff, you know, oh, you know, Stan takes all the credit, this and that, and, but it's really interesting because, in one respect, I do agree, you know, the artists have always been kind of the last thought for, you know, Marvel and DC Comics and stuff, and they don't really get their due, even now, today, but a lot of things have changed where they do get some things, but they still don't get paid very well sometimes, and...
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing with Stan and Kirby, a lot of people put that kind of on Stan, but it's not really, he's not the company. He's just the guy who works for the company, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the company is the one who really kind of made that stuff happen, and they kind of pushed it through Stan because he was the big editor in chief, you know? So, and the thing with Stan, I mean, that's, it just goes to show you, like, having social skills is pretty much, that's like one of those skills that, like, is one of the best skills you can have if you want to make money in this world. Because Stan Lee, I mean, he's just like this crazy, like, huckster. He's still running around today, and he's like, what, 100 or something?
Yeah, close to it. I don't know.
He is pretty close to it, and it's just like, this guy's crazy, and he's freaking, I'm sure he's ridiculously rich. And, you know, Kirby's down there, you know, slaving away on these pages, and he doesn't get any royalties or any type of thing from his characters. And, you know, they show the stories or whatever. They talk about the stories of, you know, he wouldn't go into, like, toy stores because he sees all his characters, but he's not getting any money from them. And, it, like, it's craziness. So, I don't know. There's a huge debate. But at the same time, Stanley and Kirby had a certain... chemistry that just, I mean, it made all the characters that we really still to this day are, like, focused on, you know, for the most part, in the Marvel Universe.
And, like, the thing about, like, also working on this comic with you is, like, I've always been, like, I think it came from the music where I can take constructive criticism. Some people can't. Like, I always took that and used it to be better. Some people can't take that. So, I think that works really well with us because, like, I can give you an idea and you don't need to be afraid to throw your opinion on it or say, no, what about this? What if we do it this way? You know, some things I might be like, well, you know, I really think that that's, you know, how we should do it. And, you know, you can do the same things, and, you know, it doesn't really matter. Like, I'm pretty open to, you know, your creative input and how you might want to do things and So I think that's another thing that works really well, is that, you know, I'm not so stuck on the story and so invested in all the characters that I'm not open to any change whatsoever. You know, some people are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of the way this project seems to have been going, and I like that. That's a style of, you know, comic collaboration that I think is really cool, is when you can go back and forth and we both kind of have our hands in all the parts, you know, but
at the same time,
you do primarily do the writing and I do primarily do the art. So it's mm-hmm. kind of interesting how that all works out. And yeah, the criticism thing, I mean, to me, it's just we're working on a project. We're trying to make it good, right. You know?
Exactly. That's all I can do is just make it better, right?
Yeah. There's no, like, weird feeling situations going on, so that's always really cool. So.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. A lot of times, you know, you do get into issues with that. And luckily, with my collaboration work, I'm trying to think, like, I don't think I've really... I mean, you know, with hip-hop, we both know, you know, you do a lot of collaboration work. It's all about that. And I haven't really come into too many weird situations. Mostly, I mean, I've worked with my crew, Shadow Locus, a lot, so, you know, we kind of got a decent thing going on, and there's been some issues in the crew at times, but, mostly, I don't think it's been with me, it's mostly been life things.
Yeah.
Kind of screw things up, but definitely cool to have that collaboration thing, and I think we both kind of see that model of how Marvel used to do it, and we both kind of dig that, so it's kind of a similar vibe as that, except for you're probably more involved in the writing than sometimes Stan was involved in the writing, but probably. You know.
Yeah, but, well that was another thing though too, is that, like, you know, like you were saying, the Stan was kind of like just kind of given like a rough summary of what it would be, but like as far as the writing goes and stuff, like I'm not over obsessive about like the details and things like that, because I know a lot of that, like I said, will be, you know, given with the visual, but like the writing style, like I really like Breaking Bad, for instance, you know, that's probably one of my influences as far as the writing goes, because it was crazy how, like, I really don't think that they had an end game for it, and I think we kind of talked about it before, where like they were kind of unsure where it was gonna go, but they made it all fit together, you know. Yeah. By the end of it, everything seamlessly fit, you know what I mean. They might not know exactly how it's all gonna play out, but they put it all together and they made all the pieces, you know, fall in place.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. A lot of times, those are kind of two different style ways of thinking about that, that people tend to go with. Some people start out with the end in mind, and then they just work their story to that goal. But some people do it the way we're doing it. So it's interesting, because I think there's a strength in that, you know, knowing the end, because mm-hmm. you can create themes that, you know, kind of foreshadow what's going to happen and stuff. So that's kind of cool. But at the same time, I don't know, sometimes it's a really cool story just to kind of discover stuff. And I mean, you see that a lot with, especially like with TV shows and stuff. Like Lost is a good example of that. Like you said, Breaking Bad. People love that Lost show, and you know, it did get a little weird at the end, but you know, they figured out a way to end it, and you know, some people hate it, some people think it's all right. I think it's all right. But you know, and same thing with Breaking Bad and stuff. And it, I think the thing is though, is with stories, to me, in my opinion, is the good part of the story is usually the middle anyways. I don't like endings anyways. Like, 9 times out of 10, in stories, the ending isn't that great. Like, it's like, oh, it's over. I kind of want to still be watching the movie or whatever, you know?
It's just kind of built it up in your head, like, it could never live up to what you thought it might do.
Yeah. I don't know, yeah. Or sometimes people just, like, like, even, like, Harry Potter, I love that whole series, and I don't know, I didn't really love how it ended. The last couple books were, it was like, everybody was like, oh, it's getting darker. Every time a new movie came out, oh, it's getting really dark. It's going to get really dark. And I'm like, I thought it was cool, too, at first, but then once it did get dark, I kind of lost that whole charm of how, what it was in the beginning.
Lost kind of like the whimsical part of it.
And you know, by the time I finished, they were all like older kids too, which was kind of weird. Like, it just kind of lost a lot of what made it really cool. So you know, I don't know, but they created a world that you kind of wanna be in. Like Lord of the Rings is the same way. Like you create, they create characters that you want to be around, you know, you want to check out how their adventures go and stuff. You like to kind of almost be part of that, or imagine you're part of that.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that goes to the writing, because, like, they make characters that are so much like someone you know, or maybe it's yourself, you know what I mean? So they make it really identifiable for, you know, the reader or the viewer, you know what I mean? Like, I know who that is. That's just like, you know, my buddy. Or that's just like me or someone in my family, things like that. So I think that's what helps propel things like that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Cool. So I guess we could talk a little bit about, like, what's your... Do you have anything else in mind? I know you've written... the first and second book, do you kind of have, I know you don't have an end specifically in mind, but do you have any kind of scope of where you want to take it next?
Yeah, I have like a general idea of like where, if it ends, where it's going to, you know, and if it doesn't, where it's going to. You know, but that's really about it. Because, you know, not having an end game, you know, sometimes I don't come up with the best scenarios, like, the first day. You know what I'm saying? So, while we're working on these books, I'm brainstorming the whole time to come up with what I think is probably, like, the coolest or the best possible, you know, ending. So I have that whole time. I don't just like, okay, it starts here and ends here and that's it, you know, because that might not be the best scenario. So I can go through the entire time that we're working on it to come up with, you know, the end or whatever it will be, you know.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the thing. I think that as you go, it'll kind of dawn on you. You'll start to discover a certain way that makes sense for it to come to a conclusion, and then you'll kind of tweak it. And it's funny too, because people who do start with the end, sometimes they're really strict with it and they just really go right to where the end they said. But some people will change the end even if they have the end in mind. So, you know. Mm-hmm. It just goes to show you that that's not necessarily the best way to go about it all the time, but it really just depends on your style and how you like to approach it.
Well, that, and I think maybe, I don't know, I think personally, like, it's all kind of seeing where it all goes, you know what I mean? Because I'd hate to, if, you know, the comic doesn't do what we would like it to, regardless of how hard we work at it, I wouldn't leave it open-ended. Like, I couldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, if totally no one bought it and everyone said it sucked or whatever, I would have to at least finish it. You know what I mean? I couldn't leave it open-ended. But if it really caught on and people wanted more and things like that, and it was working the way we wanted it to, it's almost better to keep it an open-ended story until, you know, people lose interest to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you can extend it. That's, yeah, no, definitely. It's partially, you know, a limitation added onto it because of the, you know, the kind of the business model or whatever. which is totally valid. So that's really cool. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how all these things pan out.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I couldn't just leave it open-ended to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, if the whole thing fails, I at least have to end it. Yeah. That way the story's over. There's an end to it. I know what it is. You know?
No, that's a good thing. I mean, a lot of people, and I think I've seen that with, like, your music and stuff. It seems like you like to, you know, do your project and, like, really work hard on it and then finish it. And a lot of people, I'm pretty bad with it, actually, is I'll start a lot of things but never finish them. And so that's definitely a good discipline to have as a creative person, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely always, that's been a focus, is, like, when I was making, when I started out making music, and even today, like, I'll see some people that have rapped for 10 years and never had an album.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was like, I think every artist should have something to be like, you know what, all that time that I put into this, I did this. You know what I mean? Like, I have this. I have something tangible that I can hold. I did that. There it is, right there. But to be rapping for, like I said, like 10 years and have nothing but talk. I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to build up the most, you know, I'd like to have the most, like, you know, yeah, I spent my time, but pretty much the last 6 years or so,
yeah,
except for this past year, I've been putting out at least an album a year.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I'm not, like, wasting my time, and I like to see it through to the end. I like to see a project get finished. Cool. Like I told you before, like, I really like seeing a project go from just a thought that you had to something tangible. You know what I mean? Like, I really like that. That's something I like about it.
That's awesome. And that's kind of, you're definitely going to see that as we move forward, because, like, it's taken me forever to get any, like, real progress. Like, I still don't have much of, like, a logo or even a good drawing yet to even put as, like, our avatar for our Facebook. But, you know, it's not for lack of working on it. It's just, I've been having a difficult time trying to create the characters and stuff, so, you know, it's kind of moving slowly, but like I said, this whole 100 days of comics thing, and it'll extend past 100 days for sure, but
that movie motivating you a bit more.
Yeah, it's definitely pushing me to chip away at things that aren't fun to chip away at, the tough parts, you know? Once things get more solidified and I'm used to drawing the characters, I have some designs, then it'll be a lot easier, like, especially after the first book, because all the characters will be created and I'll have a good idea of what the world looks like and everything.
Yeah.
So the second issue, I think, will end up being a lot quicker because I don't have to do all that beginning work, you know? That's the part that... mm-hmm. It's like I heard a... I think it was Jeff Lafferty, the guy I interviewed on the last podcast. He, in one of his videos, said that it's kind of like a train. Like, you got, like, tons and tons of steel and, like, huge, like, it's just so heavy, this thing on the track. And, you know, it takes so much just, like, for that engine. There's multiple explosions within the engine and crazy stuff just to get it to move one inch, you know. But once you get it to move one inch and you start to get the momentum, then it takes a lot less to get that thing, to keep that thing going, you know, and get to your destination.
Right now, you're just, you know, right now you're just laying the foundation for it, and, you know, everything else is just built on top of that. So.
Absolutely. So once I can get through with some of that stuff, then we'll be doing a lot better. And
like I said, man, I've told you before, I totally respect all that. I know it's a whole process, so. That's another thing too. I'm not naive about how long projects will take. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
As long as it takes. So.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of set that out from the beginning, so that's good. And like I said, I'm really glad this 100 days thing came along, because it's really getting me to be able to push through some of that stuff. So, yeah, okay. Look forward to seeing how this all ends up panning out and stuff.
Yeah, I like the design so far, too.
Thanks.
Yeah, dope.
All right, well, I think we pretty much covered a lot of the stuff, you know, that we've been working on. Is there anything else you wanted to add or talk about or anything?
Let's see. Oh. Well, how about this? How did you get into comics? You asked me, like, you're, like, drawing them and really, like, doing them. How did you get into comics?
Well, basically, my thing is, and, you know, it's kind of somewhat documented on the show, but basically, I always kind of liked comics. My dad was into comics. He used to show me his old Superman comics and whatnot, and, you know, so I kind of always thought that was cool, but I didn't really, wasn't into comics back then when I was, like, a little kid. And then, you know, eventually, I don't know, I think I must have been, like, 13 or 12 or 13 or something, somewhere around there. I don't know exactly when it was, but whenever the Image guys started going, it was just a few years before that I, like, started to get into comics. And my dad brought me to a comic store. He went, and he ran into, like, a sports bar. He's really into watching sports and stuff. So, he said, well, why don't you go in there, check that out. So I went in there, and, you know, first thing that I saw that was, like, amazed me, and, you know, it's kind of weird because a lot of people rag on this guy a lot, but it was X-Force number one with Rob Liefeld drawing it. And that was, like, I was like, this is so cool. Like, I don't know, I just loved his art and stuff. And then, like, as I read that and started getting into that, I learned about a lot of the other Image guys. And, you know, I really thought the whole idea of creating your own characters was, like, the coolest thing in the world. And I was like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to make comics for my living, you know. Right then and there, I just, like, knew it. That's what I want to do. So it was, like, it was really cool, you know. And I, you know, fooled around, tried to draw them and stuff, draw all my little characters. And I have, like, old pages and stuff that I did when I was younger that have no story. It's just me drawing a character, doing something.
Right.
And, you know, so I was always trying to do that. And then, but then the thing is, like, hip-hop came along. And I kind of got into that. My cousin Eric, he lived in, not in L.A., but he lived near L.A., and he was here in Connecticut for a visit, and, you know, he was telling me all about, like, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and stuff like that. And I already was into any hip-hop I could get into. Like, I liked, like, freaking MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice, and Arrested Development was, like, my favorite. Like, I used to love them. But, you know, they're, like, not even close to what... They sort of... Arrested Development is kind of hip-hop-y, but they were, like, the mainstream stuff that is kind of cheesy. But, you know, I got into that, and then, like I said, my cousin came along, and he's, like, telling me all about Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. And I started getting into that, and so I got really into West Coast stuff, and then eventually, like, I started learning about East Coast
stuff. Days and stuff, yeah. I was,
what's that?
The whole Death Row days and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think everybody did. And then there was, like, that whole rivalry and stuff. And you know, eventually I got into, I got into the East Coast right when around high school, like elementary school, freshman in high school. I started really getting into that, and I loved Wu-Tang and, like, KRS-One and all that stuff. So I really got into East Coast stuff. And then I just eventually, you know, I saw people rhyming at the freaking lunch tables and stuff, and I was like, I want to try that. even though I'm like the only white dude, you know, wanted to try it or whatever. But I was like, I kind of want to try that. And it's funny because I remember I used to copy like old, like Funky Col Medina, like that song and stuff. Like I used to copy, I'd listen to the song and copy the words, and then I'd change some of the words into my own words. So I would like, I was writing lyrics even before I like knew about all that stuff. But then, like, I remember my first rhyme, like, it's supposed to be freestyle, but I don't know, I didn't know anything about freestyle back then. So I, like, wrote a little rhyme, and I was going to do it at the lunch table and stuff. So it was, like, totally biting off of some Snoop Dogg stuff or whatever. But, you know, I spit it or whatever, and all the dudes, they were like, whoa, that's pretty good. I mean, they knew I kind of sucked, but they were like, you know, they were actually encouraging, and I was like, I'm going to do this. And then my I became friends with this one guy, and we both were like kind of like he came up from like a religious background with his family. His dad was like a minister, and I was just getting into like the Bible and stuff. So me and him had this idea, we're like, we're gonna be like doing this awesome hip hop, but we're gonna be doing something nobody else ever did. Again, that thing you wanna do like original stuff. We're gonna talk about God. All I didn't know there's tons of people doing that already, but I didn't know.
Not to you. It's like, I got this great idea.
So that was kind of the beginning of it all, and then it just kept going forward, and I got into like the Christian hip hop scene, I got into other scenes and stuff, and you know, so the hip hop thing ended up taking over my life. I didn't forget about comics, but I was just like not focused on it. And not even drawing as much as I was. I'd do, like, graffiti stuff, but that's about it. And, you know, eventually I started listening to podcasts and stuff. And a big one was Art and Story, but there was a bunch of other ones. But Art and Story was, like, the one that everybody was into. And that was, like, a few years. That was, like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And, you know, getting into that podcast and a bunch of these podcasts about comics really got me like I feel like I'm a comic artist, but I haven't made a comic yet. So I finally started like trying to make my own comics and stuff again, and really got back into it. And then they had like these mini comic challenges, so like I did my first glyph books and stuff with that, and yeah, now I'm like all about the comics again.
Yeah.
Kind of
yep,
put hip-hop
say,
on a back burner now.
Yeah, it's kind of the same for me. Like, I started out wanting, like, I remember, like, when I was really young, like, I wanted to be an animator for Disney. Right? Yeah. Right? Nice. And, like, I remember, like, my grandfather worked at a paper mill in Minnesota, and he would come down and he'd just bring me, like, boxes of paper that were like, you know, not cut just right, you know, things like that. And so I would just draw on them all the time, like everything. But then like when I found hip hop, that was just like, it just consumed me. Like it made me put the art and everything kind of on the back burner. But then now that I've done music for so long and I've kind of gotten out a lot of what I needed to say in hip-hop, and now that I'm older and things like that, now it's kind of like, oh, well, let's dabble with that again, you know what I mean? Like, I've done a lot in as far as the music goes now, so let's try other, you know, like endeavors, you know. let's try some other things, let's switch it up. And you know, I don't know, I feel like in my life personally, like life was really hard and had lots of struggles all the time. Me and my wife were just talking about this the other day, that like now I'm at a point in my life where everything is really comfortable. Like, we're like the first people in our families to buy a house. And, you know, we have really good, steady jobs. And it's bills are taken care of. And there's no, you know, we have to push really hard, I might have to go to a pawn shop to keep lights on. You know what I mean? So, right. Like, now that it's not like that anymore, now I kind of feel like it's so weird because, like, I'm going to be 35 this year, but I feel like I'm retired. Yeah. Just because life was such a friggin' struggle to try to figure it out,
right.
You know?
Right.
Then now it's not like that. So now it's like, almost feels like I'm retired now. So, like, I'm comfortable now. So I feel like, you know, okay, I can pursue other interests. You know what I mean? So I'm not, you know, I'm old enough now to where I'm not pushing for that original goal in music. You know what I mean? Of course, everyone's original goal is, you know, be huge and famous and be everywhere and make money, blah, 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 and take care of your family, things like that. Well, I found ways to do that outside of music, you know, to take care of my family and, you know, get all the things that I wanted from music without music. So now it's just, now music to me is just like, I just like to do it now.
Exactly.
So I'm not so consumed with that music anymore because I've already accomplished the things I wanted to accomplish with music without it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel like, you know, I can go and do other things now. I'm not so caught up in the pushing so hard for music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was one of those guys that was like, I almost felt like I loved making music too much. You know what I mean? Like, I loved it more than most people.
Right.
It almost wasn't healthy how much I was kind of consumed by music. But now I don't feel that pressure.
Yeah.
So now it's venturing out into other things like the comic,
uh-huh.
stories and stuff like that. So,
absolutely, and I feel exactly the same, pretty much. You know, it was a big pressure before, and I had goals. I wanted to make money doing it and stuff, and you know, it was always a rough push. But same thing, you know, it's almost like an obsessive thing. Like you just have to be making it and making the music and stuff, and but yeah, same thing. Now I feel like I can kind of enjoy it more, you know, when I do it. It's like, okay, somebody wants a collaboration, sweet, I get to make a rap and freaking rhyme on something. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Now you know, I can make music now and it's fun again, you know what I mean? Because there's not that added pressure to, oh man, I really gotta push on this to, you know, make everything better, you know what I mean? Now all that pressure's kind of off, so it's fun again now and interesting, and I can try different things with it.
Yeah. Now we can stress out over comics.
Right. Exactly.
No, I kind of feel the same with the comics, actually, and the art and all that, too, now. I mean, like you said, you know, you're finding other ways to make a living for now, and then I mean, I'm kind of pushing towards making a living with art and stuff, but you know, like anything, it's gonna be a lot of work, so I'm not 100% stressing about it as much as I used to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so that sounds cool, you know. That sounds real cool that you got to that place. And it definitely was freeing for me as well to get to that place. So, that's, I guess, for the listeners and stuff, that's like kind of our story in a nutshell, you know, of, you know, what we're doing with this comic, the Traveler's comic. And, you know, like I said, pretty much it's written by Shannon Owens and drawn by me. And we're going to put these things out and see how it goes.
Yep.
See if we can get a million readers.
We'll do our best, I guess.
Absolutely. So, yeah, thanks for coming on to the show, Shannon. And, you know, it's cool having you, cool seeing you in person and kind of really talking. Usually we just do it through Facebook Messenger and stuff. So,
yeah, like I said, I think, this is the first time we've actually spoken to each other. So,
But, you know, I love Facebook Messenger, actually. I talk to a lot of people kind of behind the scenes in that, and It's like a chat room, and I feel like we've already kind of gotten to know each other a little bit, and you know, we're able to work well, you know, through that. So it's worked pretty good. But it's like you said, it's really cool to see face to face and stuff too. So.
Yeah.
And see your toy collection.
Indeed. Oh, did you off the show topic or whatever? But did you see the picture that I posted up that I showed you? Like, because of your post about the Clash of the Titans thing. What I did?
I'm not sure.
You posted up that Clash of the Titans thing, and because of that, I had to go out and get this.
Nice. Oh, yes. Where did you get that? I didn't even know they had, like, a toy. I think you did show me that now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, this is actually, like, a costume prop.
Oh.
Right? So I found this on eBay, and it was, like, $17. All right? But when it came here, the finish on it was real, like, the gold was, like, real flat and cheap. And the silver was flat and cheap and all that stuff, too. So I went out to Hobby Lobby and I got some gold and silver leaf paint. And I repainted all this and it put a nice shine on it. And then I went through and got the fake rubies and stuff and put it in the eyes. Because the eyes were just like little painted red dots.
Oh, okay.
It was nothing. So, like, yeah, I made it all look like it's actual metal and stuff.
That's awesome. That's a fun little project too to do.
Yeah, well,
so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to go on like your shoulder. It's like a costume prop. It's all made out of foam.
I wonder how many people would know what it is. Like if you went to like a costume party or something.
Yeah, I have it sitting on my shelf next to my Hobbit stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, I got it like right there is where it usually sits.
Sweet.
Right next to my Key of Erebor and the ring and Sting. It's just the only spot I really had the kind of shines a little bit in the light.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looks like you got quite the collection.
Yeah, it keeps growing on me, too. Like, yeah. I found this like while I was out.
I saw that. It's sweet. Does it work?
I don't know.
An old Atari.
Yep. Yeah, that one came just from you. I was just like, oh, Clash of the Titans, yes. Yes. Yeah. I have to get that.
One of the holy grails.
Yeah, and it's a full size, like it's an actual one-to-one scale of it, but it was just a foam replica for a costume. It's crazy. Yeah.
Cool. So, just for like a last little thing for everybody, I guess tell them the site and everything that we have for travelers and, you know, anything else, if there's any other ways you want people to link up with you.
Just the travelerscomic.com. And the Traveler's Comic on Facebook, which I really need to update that more. I had like a team of people that were helping to kind of do things on that, and they kind of started falling off a bit one by one. So now I'm back to trying to do it myself again.
Well, we'll get it going. Once we get some more imagery going, we should be able to get it going a little better.
Yeah.
And then also, if anybody just happens to want to check out your music, where can they find that?
Oh, all over. I'm on Android. You can go to the Google Play Store, just type in Lears, and I have free albums, free songs, albums you can buy. That's, yeah.
Cool.
Right there. Also, I have a couple projects on the iTunes, and yeah.
So type in Lears anywhere you can find music, and you'll probably find something.
Pretty much.
I'll put a link for one or two of the things there, too, in the show notes, so that will be good.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Well, so once again, thank you for coming on, and, you know, we'll talk again soon.
Indeed.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.